Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network. Today, I am joined by Ryan Clark, where we are talking about sacred messaging for conscious entrepreneurs. In this episode of Sacred Leadership, I'm sitting down with Ryan to explore how entrepreneurs can move beyond strategy and step into energetic alignment, where business messaging becomes a mirror of their soul's truth. Together, what we're going to talk about is what it really means to build a conscious brand in a noisy world, one rooted not in trends or tactics, but in resonance, authenticity, and sacred intention. This isn't about speaking louder, it's about speaking clearer. Ryan and I will dive into the heart of magnetic alignment, how the vibration of your words offers an energy that naturally attracts the clients and opportunities that are meant for you. They explore how to identify and release messaging, patterns born from fear of scarcity, translate spiritual purpose into language that lands with clarity and confidence. And with that, we're going to talk about how you can use storytelling and frequency to attract clients who truly align with your mission. Just a little bit about Ryan, because I don't want to steal his thunder, is Ryan's based in Rio de Janeiro, and he has helped businesses transform from competing on price to commanding premium rates by aligning their external messaging with their internal mission, drawing from influences ranging from spiritual texts like The Science of the Mind to marketing legends like Dan Kennedy and Gary Halbert. He teaches that with most powerful marketing comes from knowing who you are and expressing it with unwavering intention. Known for his story-driven teaching style that weaves spiritual wisdom with marketing strategy, Ryan helps entrepreneurs understand that success isn't just about tactics, but it's about belief. When you truly understand the creative power of your message, everything else becomes exponentially more effective. Welcome, Ryan, and thank you for joining today. I know I just said a lot. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your journey to this point in time?
Thanks, Charisse. Yeah, whoever wrote that intro for me did a really great job, I'll tell you what. No, there is a really interesting intersection here between business and spirituality, because honestly, I attribute all of my success in business to my spirituality, to my belief systems, to the way that I feel about myself, to the way that I see the world, to the way that I see my relationship to myself, the way that I see my relationship to other people, the way that I interact with people, the way that I think about my message is all rooted in this core belief system that I've held and that I've learned and that I express. And that's kind of what I see from everyone else too that has success in business. It's not necessarily spiritual, quote unquote, but there's something there. There's a mission there. There's a belief there. There's a faith there. So I think that's really just the most important thing, not only in business, but in life in general.
For sure. Has spirituality always been like, you know, a part of your experience? I know for my audience, I've been pretty vocal that this real intentional journey only began for me like roughly 8 or 9 years ago. But has it always been an integral part of your experience?
Yeah, I would say it has. I grew up going to church. Now, not a traditional Christian church, but I grew up going to what's called Unity Church and to Center for Spiritual Living churches. So these are, we don't call it a religion. It's more of a, say, religious philosophy. It's rooted in religious science and new thought. So we'd go to church every Sunday and we learn, you know, Jesus was our main teacher. You could say we learned a lot of lessons from the Bible, but we also took lessons from all types of religions, you know, Buddhism and Hinduism and Judaism and all of those things. So I feel really blessed and really grateful that I grew up in that environment. And, you know, it's not until in the recent 15, 20 years that I've really realized the positive effect that's had on me. And because one of the problems I would say that I see with religion is that I see a lot of times that people get stuck into boxes and kind of constructs, sort of like our religion is right and yours isn't wrong, or yours is wrong. And I never really got that. I always just felt this, yeah, there's some kind of spiritual backing that has my back, that is love, that is for the good of us and all. And yeah, I feel really grateful about that.
It's beautiful. And for you, like with, can you tell us a little bit more about like your, I guess your business experience over the years and how you managed to like integrate your faith within that and so that it's a little more digestible?
It's a good story. You know, it started off in sophomore year of college. I'm in Western Washington University in Bellingham, Washington. It's rainy there all the time, but it's beautiful. There's green trees and all of this. And I'm walking down the red bricks of canvas. It's of campus there. It's kind of like the yellow brick road in in Wizard of Oz. We have this red brick everywhere. And so I'm just walking. I'm kind of thinking about what to do. Where should I go with my life? And I was always interested in business, but I had this strike. It was like a strike. It was like a voice, but it wasn't like a voice like God saying, "Hey, Ryan, you should go do this." It was just this subtle, powerful message that said, "Spread good ideas." And I'm thinking, spread good ideas, spread good ideas. Wow, that is powerful. That really hit me. What does that mean? Well, okay, business, marketing, marketing is spreading good ideas. That sounds like a good way, a good thing to do. And you know what? There's a lot of bad ideas. There's a lot of people out there that's spreading a lot of messages that negatively affect people. Maybe I can spread messages and I can spread good ideas, or ideas that are good and that are going to help others. So that was kind of this first link of this business and spiritual mission. And to this day, every single thing that I've ever done in my life has been rooted in this message of how can I spread good ideas? So from there, I got an internship at the Volunteer Center. And I was very depressed actually at that point. And until later, I've found out that it was from bipolar depression. So I've had a few big manic episodes in my life, and I had a few sessions of months in my life in college where I was very depressed, and I didn't know why. It's like, why do I feel this way? I wake up and look at my bed, and I needed to go back to bed, but everything was going fine in my life. But after I had that voice, that vision, and I got this internship at the Volunteer Center, I had mission again. I had purpose. And then I snapped out of it. And then one of my best friends had a camera. So we said, "Hey, what if we made videos for the Volunteer Center where we could do marketing, if we could spread the ideas of the events going on?" So we did that. Then we started a video production company some years later, and built our business together as best friends. And then they quit on me and kind of stabbed me in the back, basically. They said, "Hey, Ryan, we don't want you, like, we're done with this business, and it's kind of your fault because you're the sales guy." And that hurt. And then I thought, what do I do now? And then again, it's so I'll cut my I don't want to go on too long here about my story, but the kind of main thing here is that I had this feeling in this direction, and everything has been rooted in this, how do I spread good ideas? And I really feel like all of so many mental problems, insecurities, unassurances of that people have is because they don't have that mission and that purpose, and they're not doing work that they love to do every day. And really, I wish that, I wish to help more people understand that. I think that's what we're doing here too, linking spirituality and business like this.
100%. And I, and thank you for bringing that up about purpose. I was working on drafting a leadership program internally for our business, and that was one of the words that I had used, which was around purpose. Right? Because every owner of every business or leader or organization wants people to really get behind whatever it is they're doing, right? And I remember saying to our CEO, I'm like, we work in renewable energy. And I said, it's a really beautiful idea, but solar panels and batteries are not sexy. Like they're not. They have a beautiful impact when we can displace fossil fuels and such like that, such things like that. But I said, how do we get people to really lean into what their purpose is and help them find what that is? And so how do you begin to help people find that, when we're on this hamster wheel of life and we got bills to pay and we've got this to do, and as leaders, we've got, contracts to close and bottom lines to worry about and so on and so forth. How do you help not only leaders, but employees get really clear on what that purpose is so that we can lean into that?
It definitely comes in everyday life. It's like I think it's like a big it's a big definitive kind of thing where you have structure, and then it's like an everyday, every time you're interacting with somebody or you're walking down the street kind of practice that you need. So I think definitely the core message needs to be there. The core purpose needs to be there. You have to be doing work that's aligned with what you love to do, what's in your wheelhouse. So if you're, so me, I've been an entrepreneur my whole, most of my life. I had a 9-to-5 job one time. And I just remember the very first day I was sitting in this job, and my boss, he said, gave me these tasks to do to read up on what we're supposed to be doing in the business, just some kind of administrative stuff. And I got done reading through it in about an hour and a half. And I looked at him, I'm like, all right, I'm done. Like, what's the next thing? He said, oh, that's really the only thing you have to do for today. Just you can kind of do some more studying about the company. And I'm looking at the clock and there's like 6 hours left of the day. And it just that's when it hit me that oh my God, like, so this is what it's like to be stuck in a kind of job where you're just not, where you have to be someplace that you don't want to be. My younger brother right now, he's a very creative person. He's great at video and marketing and editing, and he's so creative and so good. But for the past few years, he's been driving an Uber and delivering food, and he really likes that and he really enjoys that. But he's having, there's some block. He's having a lot of trouble finding his lane. He's having trouble figuring out what it is that he wants to do. And I just, and it hurts me. I know it hurts him a lot more, but I see that he's struggling so much to really find what makes him great. And there's something in his mind with the ideas that he's learned that's held back his self-worth and that's held back what really can make him great. And so on that one hand, it's that how do you find that big purpose, that big mission? And it really, I think 99% of it is doing whatever you can to get into work that you really love and that you enjoy. I did work for free when I started off as a marketing and a videographer. I found some cool guy that I liked. I said, hey, I'll make you a video. I'll do it for free. He said, Ryan, what are you making at that other job that you're stuck in, that 9-to-5? I'll match your salary. And that's when I became basically free as an entrepreneur. So it's being willing to do work. It's maybe for free in the beginning, or that's just, like whatever that is, but as long as it's aligned. Charisse, I think the other thing, it's like really I want to say meditation. But not just meditation like sitting on the ground and meditating, which helps, but in the everyday life, when you're talking to people, it's being non-judgmental. It's seeing that first thought that comes up about some place or situation, really letting that go and realizing that that's our conditioning, and then saying, okay, that was the kind of first conditioning. Now I need to look at this person just with forgiveness and with love, look at this situation with open eyes, because then you're open to what's really there. You're open to possibility. You're opening to the next move. But if you're closed, then you can't step into that purpose. You can't find it in the first place.
You're really you're what you're saying right now. I was having tea with a friend yesterday, and she had said the exact. Actually, I'd said it to her, and she was talking about being in an experience where there's that resistance that you're talking about, right? Like the judgment, right? Somebody says something or something happens in a group dynamic, and we have this resistance or this judgment that comes up. And what I'd said was, I said exactly what you said. I said, I think that if we can learn how to release the judgment in the moment, you don't know what's on the other side of that. You don't know what connection you're going to make. You don't know what conversation's going to happen. You don't know what road it's going to take you down. And if you remain really closed because of a perception, a conditioning, then you really miss the magic of what each interaction really is, and you know, possibly the potential around finding whatever that purpose is, right? So, well, beautifully put and well said, and thank you for the reminder of, like, if we can learn how to come into the experience and let go of the judgment, and not in the way of, like, where we, you know, sometimes beat ourselves up around. We all do it, right? Good, bad, right, wrong, whatever it might be. But thank you for the reminder of that. We're going to take our first break. I'm loving this conversation so far. And when we come back, we will talk more about actual messaging and the energy of what you're putting out there as an entrepreneur. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I am sitting down with Ryan Clark, and we are talking about sacred messaging for the conscious entrepreneurs. In the first segment, Ryan and I were just really laying the framework, getting to know him a little bit about his spirituality and his journey and how he got to this point in time, or this place in his career and his journey. And now I just want to kind of turn towards sacred messaging and what that actually means. So can we talk a little bit about the sacred messaging framework? And let's maybe for the audience explain what that really looks like in practicality.
Yeah, so our agency's idea, the way that we like to work with entrepreneurs, people that are doing marketing, that so we're working with a lot of coaches and consultants and people that help other people. We have this idea of the market messiah. So our method is called the market messiah method. And it's this holistic kind of approach to marketing where we're doing a mix of direct response style marketing and community connection and growth types of kind of network connection and growth. Because the idea is that typically people are doing one or the other. Typically on one side with marketing, you have people that are just doing a lot of cold outreach, direct outreach. They're trying to pump a generic message out to thousands and thousands of people and hoping that something sticks. On the other end, there's people who are only focused on social media. They're just putting out lots and lots of content, and they're not doing any kind of direct outreach. They're not doing any kind of risk-taking when it comes to matching the perfect message to the person at the perfect time. So the idea of the market messiah is that we are giving that perfect offer to a very targeted group of people that are the perfect kinds of clients that have intent to want to buy from you. So they're in the right stage of the buyer journey. They're aligned clients. And at the same time, we're creating an ecosystem where we're bringing in inbound leads as well through our content. So the way that we think about it is that we're doing outreach to the perfect person, while at the same time making sure that that person, when they're looking at who we are as people mm-hmm. and the kind of content that we're creating, that they're able to see our authentic kinds of selves through our authentic content and messaging. That's not just the ChatGPT, I just created a script and I'm going to have a generic kind, I'm just doing content just to do it. Mm-hmm. But you are your market's messiah. You're finally that kind of person that gets them, that is speaking their language, that's singing their song while creating this kind of community of clients, this community of people that you're helping at the same time. So in a nutshell, it's using both sides, using the inbound and an outbound, while being that kind of person that people think, like, finally, like, they get it. It's like divine. It's like divine connection that they found me at the perfect time.
Mm-hmm. And like, how do you work through that process though? Right. Because there's like traditional marketing, and you don't have to give away the secret sauce, but you know, really what we're talking about is like making sure that entrepreneurs are, their message is in alignment with what their core values are. And I imagine, because, you know, we're talking about the intersection and the integration of business and spirituality. So how do you walk them through? And I'm imagining also that a lot of the clients that you work with already have this openness and this willingness to like align the messaging that way. Or is it structured in more of a way? And I don't think that it is, but maybe just walk us through a little bit of what that process actually looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm happy to give away all the secret sauce, because you know what, Charisse, it's such a difficult thing. Like, I'm not gonna lie and I'm not gonna say that doing marketing and creating messaging is something so easy, and that if you worked with me, I'd be able to get you 30 leads a month and you're gonna make thousands and thousands of dollars in sales. And you know what? That's one of the big problems with marketing and with the industry. And with marketers in general, is that just over time, there's been so much competition that claims are getting so much hypier and hypier and hypier, and is going to all these ridiculous levels that people don't even trust marketers anymore. Almost every day I talk to new people who said that they've spent thousands, tens of thousands of dollars on marketing, and it's gotten them, you know, nothing. They've gotten no results. And a lot of it just comes from people who aren't using who aren't really doing the right things first. They're not putting the right foundations in place mm-hmm. first. They're not becoming aligned with their messaging first. So, which is what we do in our approach. So the big problem is what we call the funnel first fallacy. Mm-hmm. And it's that marketers, they'll create some kind of funnel. Say you're a coach and you're trying to bring in aligned clients, and you want to have a marketing system that brings you clients consistently and predictably. Mm-hmm. Well, what most people do is they look to the rest of the market at what they're doing. They say, oh, Tony Robbins, his funnel looks like this, and he's doing a webinar, so I'm going to do a webinar too. And, you know, I'm going to look up, what are like the top 10 spiritual coaches? What does their messaging look like? And then they'll go to ChatGPT and they'll use that kind of, that copy on their funnel, on their landing pages and stuff. So what happens when you make the funnel first before thinking about the messaging, you have this broken funnel where your message sounds very, it sounds generic and it doesn't connect together. It doesn't build on each other. And more importantly, it doesn't create a unique story that's aligned to you. Yeah. So for us, Market Messiah messaging consists of six elements that create a story narrative. So you have your buyer angles, you have your root cause, you have your big idea, you have your unique mechanism, and then you have your positioning and your content pillars. So the important part is your funnel narrative. Mm-hmm. And just quickly in a nutshell, what that is rather than, if you're going to make a funnel, if you're going to bring somebody from knowing nothing about you to buying from you, rather than saying, hey, you have this problem, I have this solution, and that at each step of the way, your ad says that, your landing page says that, your methodology says that, what you want to do instead is you want to not educate people and just say that, hey, you have a problem, I have a solution, but you want to help them in this funnel understand why they're having that problem in the first place. So that's the purpose of the root cause. When we run an ad, we don't say, got this problem, I have this solution. We say, hey, have you been trying this? Have you been trying this thing and it hasn't been working? Well, you know, on this masterclass, we're going to help you understand the real reason why you haven't been able to have success. And we're going to help you understand that. And then we're going to, you know, help you understand how we can help you. So that's kind of like at the beginning on a basic level. Yeah. We can go into more of that.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And so I imagine that when your clients begin working with you, they, as you've said, they've spent tens of thousands of dollars. They are not getting either A, the right clients, or B, any clients at all. They work with you. And then, so within that, I imagine that once they see success, then there is, they would, that would validate the alignment of their messaging with what is actually being received by the marketplace. So what would be the, I am also then assuming that the indicator is, how do you help them to see, I guess, the misalignment within their language? Or is it just very obvious because whatever they're putting out there is not working?
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example because, you know, the answer is a lot of times one of the most obvious things. And it is really asking your audience specifically, what types of problems, what types of issues or ideas are resonating with them the most. And then having that kind of solving one of that kind of problem, be upfront in your messaging. So most people, they say, well, I know my audience. Mm-hmm. I am my target market. I've been working with them for years. I know what they want. But on the one hand, you might think you know what they want, but they really don't. So the first thing that we do with all of our clients is we do a survey of their audience through their social media and on their list. And we say, you know, okay, let's think of what are some of the core things they might be that might be having issues with. And then let's ask which of these out of these five top things, which ones have been you know, on your mind the most, which is affecting you the most. And then we make that the forefront of, say, our workshop. So we have a client, her name is Tanya, and she helps ambitious women get to the next level in their careers and in their life. She helps them understand what are those blocks that they're experiencing and then get to that next level. And she'd been working on her coaching business for a few years. We're really getting almost zero results, you know, spending lots of money in creating workshops that, yeah, she was getting women coming to them and signing up, but really none of them were buying and they weren't really engaged and interested. But it's a really shame because, like, she is amazing at coaching. Yeah. She's, like, amazing at what she does, but it's the getting the right people there that wasn't working. So her kind of idea was, it originally was a generic workshop, a more of a, hey, are you an ambitious woman who's having blocks in her life and you're not really sure why? Well, in my brilliance, my like life brilliance workshop, I'm going to help you to overcome those blocks. So, you know, it's valid, you know, speaking to a market that has a problem, helping them do that, but it was pretty vague. Mm-hmm. So, but what we discovered from this survey was that one of the biggest reasons why the women in her audience felt like they couldn't ask for what they really wanted, why they couldn't get to this next level, was because they felt like they didn't have enough credentials. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't have enough training. Like they needed to get another certification before they felt that they could really get them what they think they deserved. So we made that the forefront of our ads and of this masterclass. We called it the Beyond Your Credentials Masterclass. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of our messaging, was like, hey, are you an ambitious woman and you've got everything? You know, you've been had lots of success in your life, you've climbed the ladder and you've done these amazing things, but you just feel like if only you had that one more certification, if only you did that one more thing, then you could finally get the success you wanted. And we just ran this workshop a couple months ago. And it, you know, worked amazingly. We had 40 women on the workshop, and about 5% of them upsold into her coaching program, which is really good. So just having that extra specificity there was a more powerful entry point and got the right types of women who are in this frame of mind, you know, of wanting to take some action too.
That's fantastic. You know, how you guys just really started out with the survey and really asked the audience, what is it that you want? Like, what's your biggest roadblock, your perceived roadblock? Yeah. So I'm curious, because, you know, I don't know about you, but when I'm on social media or watching TV, whatever, anything where there's an ad, like, how do you really cut through all of that, right? Like, you were able to take this message, speak right to the heart of her audience. And yes, you did it through the survey, but I imagine that you also have a very short amount of time in order to do that. Do you find it increasingly difficult with how connected we are and how much competition there is for your attention to, like, actually cut through all that noise and get to the heart of the matter?
Yeah, it is difficult, definitely. But I think there's two parts to that of how to cut through the noise. So one is in the ads itself, in the copy and in the creative. So in the copy, what I alluded to of this kind of front-end problem is we're using buyer angles, or we're using hooks that are in our ads and in our content that are speaking to this level of, we call it, to solution-aware prospects. So this is why we're saying things like, hey, do you feel like you just need one more credential? Or have you tried to play the politics game and that didn't feel unaligned? Have you been in years of therapy and have still gotten nowhere? So we're not just saying, hey, do you want to get to the next level? I've got the solution. We're saying, hey, have you like already tried all of these kinds of things and they haven't been working? So we're speaking to this level of awareness of people that are like, yeah, I have tried that. And yes, what is the thing that's finally going to help me? So that's something that not a lot of hooks or advertising is doing, is speaking to that type of prospect, which is the one that's most likely to buy. They're in the right state of mind for buying. So that helps. What also helps, is this is something you see a lot on LinkedIn, is the creative, the actual image or media itself is pretty corporate-y. There's a lot of images that like have a lot of text, and it's the classic, the coach is like speaking up on stage or something, and it's like, hey, here's my workshop. Well, what we found works way better is simply like a selfie, an image of your face. Or if we're running a video ad, it's like you talking and walking and talking to the camera. So we did this with one of our clients. They help CEOs of nonprofits to raise more money. And with the ads, they were doing ads, and then after we put in these buyer angles, and he's kind of a goofy guy. He's an Irish guy, kind of tall, kind of lanky, but he's got some, we just put a bunch of these photos of him. He's like, the best performing ad is him in a tux, and he's just looking at the camera, giving this cheesy kind of smile. But doing it in that way, going away from the corporate image of him speaking on stage to just a basic kind of selfie and using these buyer angles, like we cut his ad cost in half doing that. And have just helped a lot. So there's that thing on the ad side, and the other, it's the social proof stuff, Charisse. Like, I'm sure, you doing this podcast, and you have lots of other great content. It's not only about the first touch anymore, but people are going to look at your profile. And what we're doing here, video, I think this is the most important thing. Even us going live like this is like Uber. The coolest way that we could be creating content, because we're totally authentic. We're risking. Now, not like everyone can like, yeah, I love going live and doing video, but really, I think video content is one of the best ways to show people that they can trust you and show your personality. So I think the content ecosystem consistency there is a big part of it too.
Absolutely. And I mean, realistically speaking, we all enjoy content where we feel like we can connect with the creator of that content in a very authentic and human way, right? So, but we are going to go to our second break. And when we come back, we will continue this conversation around the messaging and so on and so forth. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can.
Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse. Well, I can't even say my own name on the Inspired Choices Network. I am joined here today with Ryan Clark, and we are talking about sacred messaging and sacred messaging for conscious entrepreneurs. And in the first segment, well, actually, we'll just talk about the last segment. Ryan is really diving into the sacred messaging framework and what that process looks like with the clients that he works with, and how just really approaching the entire sacred messaging has really transformed a lot of your clients' experience. And right before the break, what we were talking about was how when we were trying to cut through all the noise of all of the competing things out there for our attention, how really showing up in these types of platforms, like with video and, you know, because you talked a lot about some of the clients who, instead of like with the corporate kind of look, just kind of showing up as they are, was really having a lot of success for them, right? So how do you find it a little challenging with your people to like get them to shed the facade and shed the mask, or at this point when they come to work with you, they're like really ready to just, you know, really show up as themselves and be really authentic?
Not at all, Charisse. No, not at all. No, it's like, I mean, content is hard. You know, it's hard to make content. It's hard to make content consistently too. You know, we all have lives that are so busy. We're doing a million things. I mean, I'm single and I don't have any kids. I can't imagine what it's like to like be running a business and have a family and be creating content and doing all these things. I don't know how I'm going to get it done. But I think what I always tell people, I mean, one, I don't know if I can't force anybody to like content. And I think you have to like it though. I think for content to work, you have to find a way to like it. You have to find out how are you going to fit content into your mission? I think that could be the easiest way, is that if you are a coach, if you're helping people, if your mission is to help more people and it's to serve your audience, is to serve in the best way that you can, and if you're going to make a choice to use content, because you don't have to, you can run ads, you could never do a single piece of content ever, and that's what lots and lots of people do. But if you do want to build a network like this and you want to be a personal brand and you want to show your face, put yourself out there, you got to create content and you got to like it, because if you don't, you're going to be like 99% of LinkedIn, where yeah. You just have, it's like, you know, have you seen the LinkedIn content I'm talking about, right?
I have. Yeah, I do. I totally understand what you're talking about. And I think that really I'm chuckling internally, because I'm the person you're talking about who's just like, because it's like this whole challenge of like really putting yourself out there. That's why it's very easy to do it in a very cookie cutter way, because that's what everyone else is doing. And let's face it, it's safe. It means that you don't have to be different. You don't have to be vulnerable. Everybody else is doing it, so it must work. But maybe what the must work is like, there's no judgment within that. Because if we talk about your Irishman, you said he's a bit of a goofy guy, but that was his thing. That's what actually worked for him, was like actually just being himself. So it requires, as a conscious leader or conscious entrepreneur, it requires a level of courage to be willing to show up and be judged and have people like it or not like it, and really let go of the idea of like, what is your objective? Your objective is to help people. Your objective is to connect with the people who will have value in the product or the service that you are trying to offer to them. And that really takes a large degree of courage. So I'm chuckling because I'm learning to like content, but it took a long time. Honestly, it's been a struggle.
It's a tremendous amount of courage, and it's difficult, and it's so confusing. You know, there's so many methods to do. There's so many ways to create content, and I gotta do posts, and I gotta do a reel, and I gotta do a newsletter, and I gotta do a carousel.
I gotta do short. Like, I gotta do all this stuff. I gotta send emails. I gotta it's lots. It's over. You just said, you know what? I'm tired already. Just the way you just said it.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that's all bullshit, to be honest. I don't think you have to do any of that stuff. Okay. Like, you don't have to do all of those things at all. You should do one thing. Do one thing you really like. Like, for me, it's video. It's live. I mean, it's not always live, but it's video. And you know what I do is 3 times a week, I'll have like 2 topics that I'll talk about, and I'll just riff on them. And then I'll go in and I'll cut up a few clips. So like from each one of my lives, I'll get at least 2 or 3 clips from it so that I can then schedule those to go, you know, to go post out whenever. But for me, that's the easiest way to do it, is if you just think of, okay, what are some questions that I can answer that my audience is going to be interested in? And then go live, answer those 2 questions, because then you're going to be authentic. It's going to be you out there. You can riff on it. You know, that does take a little practice, and that can be scary too.
For sure.
But at the end of the day, it's the easiest way. And then when you go live, it gets posted immediately, so that content is right there. And then you can use an app like Descript to use AI to cut up those clips for you. Maybe you got some social media person that can do it for you too. But at least if you just do live, that's there. But I mean, the whole be on every platform and post all these different types of content, it's just not necessary. That's why I love my method, Charisse. Yeah. That's why I love the way that I do things, because having this mix of outbound and inbound is amazing, because I know that when I send out a certain amount of messages, and the way that I do it in an authentic, great, hyper-personalized way, when I send out a certain amount of messages, I'm going to make a certain amount of sales.
Yeah.
But what's going to help me make those sales is that people are going to look at my profile and they're going to see my content. They'll be like, Ryan's doing cool stuff. He seems like a cool guy. I'll get on a call with him. That is the only purpose your content should have, is this person. It seems like if I talk to this person, I'm not going to totally waste my time, and it could at least be a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
That's all I think you need.
And I think realistically, like I was visualizing what you were talking about, right? Like the outbound and the inbound and the blend between the two. And I think maybe that's part of the challenge, is that, and especially with technology, like you've talked about it here a little bit, which is AI, and how, you know, people might have an idea and they use their prompt engineering, they pop it into their AI and churn out the content and post, right? And so inevitably what it creates is like this disconnect between your marketing campaign, I suppose, because number one, it's not you. Number two, and I think really what you're talking about is how you infuse yourself into whatever marketing that you're putting out there. And that's often, I think, what the disconnect is today. And possibly it's because people are maybe feeling a little burnt out by all of the marketing that they perceive that they need to do, and really just kind of striving to find something that's working. Would you agree that that's really what it is this disconnect, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. It's total disconnect, because there is so much noise. There's so much of what I should do. And there's just a lot of bad advice, there's a lot of bad marketers out there that are selling people on content strategy as all you got to do. If you post every day, and if you post all these different types of things, you're going to get inbound leads. That's a total lie. The only people that are saying that are marketers that are selling content marketing services. Mm-hmm. That does not happen. You could maybe in a couple of years, you post every day, and if you comment on people's stuff every single day, you'll get some inbound leads.
Yeah.
But for 99% of people, I don't care how much content you post, I don't care how good it is, it's a reach problem. LinkedIn isn't going to show your stuff. Now, there is a way. So some of the top LinkedIn influencers, you know what they do? They spend, at least when they started, if you spend 5 hours a day commenting on other people's LinkedIn posts, then you will build your network and you will get your content seen. But some of the top creators, the way they got there was not only did they comment for 5 hours a day, but they hired people to go out and comment on other people's comment for 5 hours a day as well. And that's how they built up the network to get enough people to actually see their content. And ultimately, then you have to have a great offer. You have to have a great messaging in the first place and have offers and promote it. So it's just like, I just hate these marketers that are just out there saying, just have great content, just post more. It's just a bunch of bullshit. Those are the ones that are charging the $10,000 and taking people's money, but justifying it. Like, so anyway, it's not like outbound is any easier, but that's why I do what I do. That's why I help clients with their messaging first, because that's the core of everything. That's how you can have an outbound strategy, but then you can also have a chance at least of making inbound work.
For sure. And I'm just curious, you know, when we talk about messaging, you know, communication and messaging is, you know, there's obviously visual and there's written and there's so on and so forth. But earlier this year, I had a guest on and we really talked about the power of words and the energy of words. Does that weigh into the way that you work with your clients? Like, we did this entire exercise where we were taking a statement, like we'll say a problem statement, and we were drilling it down until eventually, and we were pairing it with like some somatic work, so some body work and how it felt when you said it. Do you work with any of that with your clients when you're putting together the messaging?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Totally agree. Yeah. The words are very, very powerful and they help in that it makes your methodology proprietary. Mm-hmm. It makes it feel like, hey, this is something that I can only get when I work with this person. So I've critiqued maybe close to 400 sales pages, mm-hmm. landing pages, sales pages. It's actually a part of my lead generation process is I'll find people who are running ads. I'll look at their landing pages and I'll send them a video to critique, you know, how they could make it better.
Yeah.
And a big problem is that most everyone is saying that they're delivering the same things. Like if it's somebody who's helping someone with burnout, it's like, you know, I'm going to give you a kind of, I don't know, a 30-day strategy of what the things you can eliminate in your life so you're not so burnt out. I'm going to give you some like energy strategies to get your energy back. I'm going to give you these strategies to get your time back. And so they're selling these things that makes me think, well, this is what every other coach is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Or, okay, strategies to increase my energy. Why don't I just go search on YouTube for those things?
Yeah.
So what you want to do is you want to wrap up what you have into a framework or into a methodology. Instead, you sell the result, where you're saying that you're going to help them get some kind of level of energy or get them some amount of hours of time back, but you're going to do it using your proprietary Charisse inner peace methodology, you know, and it's broken up into pillars. You know, you have like 3 to 5 pillars where you have your XYZ mindset framework and you have your XYZ planning kind of framework. Like, so for example, in our agency, you know, our idea of the root cause, the real reason why you're not having success is the funnel first fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I could just say, you know, it's because you don't have your messaging down. That's why it's not working. Everyone says that.
Yep.
But no, it's the funnel first fallacy. And what's the solution to that? It's your strategic messaging architecture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, these words, they have weight, the market messiah. So you need words that do two things, that they tell somebody in general what they're getting out of it. So the market messiah, that kind of makes sense. Marketing, I know marketing, market messiah. Okay, I get an idea what that is, but it doesn't give it away, and it shouldn't, because it should also create curiosity behind it too. So we want somebody to think, I get what this is and I want to learn more. So a lot of times people are, they're way too vague, and it's like the energy method or something. It's like, okay, well,
that doesn't mean anything.
I know what that is. yeah. So we need something a little more to create curiosity. But totally with you on that.
I totally want to dive in more to the messaging architecture, because I think it's really important when creating that marketing and that messaging. We're going to go to our final break, I believe. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the messaging architecture. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network. We are just in the final segment. Believe it or not, we only have 5 minutes left. But I've been joined here today by Ryan Clark, where we've been talking about sacred messaging and the importance of really getting the alignment so that you can really attract the clients into your business that you are looking for. And right before the break, Ryan, you were talking about messaging architecture. So just to kind of wrap this all up, because I think the most important part and a lot of what you were saying in the last segment, I was thinking about how I approach messaging myself. And I was like thinking about, you know, because you talked about kind of storytelling. And really talking about it in a way where it's like, instead of saying, here's the problem, here's the solution, I've got the solution for you, but really kind of building up and connecting with the feeling piece of it. And I was like, yeah, you know, that really does kind of loop you in. So let's talk a little bit about the architecture here and how you help entrepreneurs craft that.
Yeah, so can go into the funnel narrative, which I think is the most important part. And the overall idea is that we want to take our customer on a journey, this person going from knowing nothing about you to ultimately buying from you. We want to have each piece of the funnel build up on top of each other and work with each other so that they can exponentially build on top of each other, we could say. So I'll do, say, in the example of a webinar funnel. So on the front end, when we're speaking to someone in an ad or in a piece of content, there's that first element of using the correct buyer angles, talking to the solution aware prospects. So if we want to get the right types of prospects that have intent to buy, we need to be addressing the angles of what are some of the things that they've tried before that have failed. And that's how we hook them and tease them. We say, so for example, do you think you need another credential before you can get that next step in your career? So we're speaking on that level so that the right people enter into the funnel. And then on teasing the workshop, and in the workshop, it's all about diagnosing the root cause. So it's not just about saying, hey, I'm going to help you solve your problem on this webinar. It's about, I'm going to help you understand the real reason why you've been blocked and why you haven't been able to have success. Mm-hmm. And then, because then we're framing ourselves as a trusted advisor and as somebody who is really the authority in the space, because before they get onto that webinar, we're helping them understand why those other solutions haven't worked or why they won't work, and on the webinar as well. So then at the end of it, we help them understand why those things haven't worked. And then what's the natural next question is, well, what is going to work? And then that's when we go into our big idea. So at the end of that webinar, we'd say, okay, so the way that I approach solving this problem is called this, which in my case, it's the strategic messaging architecture. Now, if you want to learn more about that, I'm going to offer one-on-one calls for everyone here that is interested. We're going to schedule those. Or maybe it's an email sequence that happens. You have a five-day email sequence that follows up, and they're going to get some kind of special deal if they buy within those 5 days, some kind of special pricing or some kind of bundle or some other type of forcing function there. So then that's like your main signature program is wrapped into your big idea. And then throughout that, you have your unique methodology. So that is those pillars, exactly how you're getting results. You got to break that down, and you got to be visual, and you need to break it up into systems. That's a proprietary system that's different so that somebody understands that I can only get this result with Charisse. It's her methodology is getting this result. I like that. So that's it in a nutshell. And then the last part on the end is your content pillars. Yeah. They got to be speaking to those buyer angles on the front end. Use your content as follow-up content to speak to those same solution-aware prospects, so that way 50% of your sales happen on the back end. And then that's how you'll capture those people that weren't quite ready on the workshop but are still in your ecosystem.
Beautiful. So if people want to find you, Ryan, how would they reach out to you? What's your website address?
You can find me at Post 5 here in Copacabana in Rio de Janeiro. You know, I'm typically out there on the beach, working out or swimming or something. So there's always that option. But other than that, my LinkedIn is the best place, my LinkedIn profile. That's got all my content and about me and all that stuff there. Send a DM.
Beautiful. We will post all your info. Thank you so much for joining today, Ryan.
Yeah. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.